What's up, church family?
You can give God some praise, would you? Go ahead. Yeah. Good to see you guys. Welcome to all of you who are maybe at home or traveling or listening to this later. It's awesome to have all of our church online family. Glad that you guys are with us. Glad that all of those that are in the building are also with us. And I'm especially glad that the best part of me, my beautiful wife, Lauren, is also with us. Yeah. So, good morning. It's
good morning.
It feels different in here this morning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, good. If it looks different and it feels different, that's because it is different, all right? And so here's what we want to do today. Here's our hope is that I want you to just imagine that you're not actually at the church building. I'd love for you to imagine that you're just in your home and just sit back on your couch. Hopefully you got some coffee in hand. Want you to be able to relax. We're going to have a conversation. For those of you that are online and you're already on your couch, you're like, this is awesome. I know. Thank you for welcoming us into your home. What we want to do today is we actually want to have a family meeting, all right? And how many of you guys have ever been in a family meeting? Come on, let me see some hands, those that are in the building. All right, good. You can put those down. All right, now, how many of you, when you had the family meeting, it was bad news? Let me see those hands. Come on, where y'all at? Okay. How many of you guys, when you had a family meeting, it was good news or it was normal or whatever? It wasn't just bad. All right, that's what I thought. There's less of you. That's exactly what I thought. I think most homes are that way when mom and dad's like, come on, everybody, to the living room. We're having a family meeting. You're like, oh boy, what's wrong? What did I get caught doing? What did they figure out, right? So listen, that's not what today is, okay? We were in our team huddle this morning, actually, and my wife and our oldest daughter, Janelle, was reminiscing on a family meeting that we had when there was only four people in our home, and we sat Janelle and Carter down in the living room. Come on, everybody, let's have a family meeting to inform them that we were having a baby, right? And so that was a good meeting. That was a good meeting. And now that baby is a sixth grader. And so, yeah. Yeah, so that's what today is. This is a family meeting, and listen, I want you to like be at ease, relax, rest. Nothing's wrong. Is that fair enough, everybody? All right, let me see your hand if you believe me. Nothing's wrong. Okay, I promise. All right, good. So what we want to do today is start this brand new series out just like this. I actually really felt led by God not only to kind of create a different atmosphere and a different feel, maybe a little more relaxed and restful, really felt like God put it in our hearts for us to share this word with you guys together. And so what you're going to find is I talk a lot and Lauren doesn't talk a lot, but when she does, she has a lot to say. And it's powerful when she speaks. So do you have anything you want to say just on the spot right now with no preparation? Go.
No.
Okay. And so this is perfect. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to start a brand new series today, and we're calling it The Rest of Your Life. And that is a little bit of play on words, and it is on purpose, because here's what I've been discovering. God's been doing a really, really deep work, not only in me, but in Lauren. And you're going to hear that, a lot of her story here in just a few moments about what God's really been doing in us. But God's been doing a real deep work on the inside of me concerning rest. Now, if you've been a part of our church for any length of time, you've probably heard me sort of jump on a little bit of a, you might call it a soapbox, but I sort of get up and sort of talk a little bit about pace and the culture and how the world around us is continually pushing us to do more, go faster, go harder. We're like a real super microwave society. Like, I need instant results. I need stuff right now. And so the more you do, the more you can multitask, the busier that you are, the more you seem to be applauded in our culture, the more status you seem to have in our culture. And I'm starting to really strongly question if that is out of balance. I really am. And so the first thing I want you to hear me say is really where I come from. And so here's where I come from. Okay, my last name is Hersey. And here's what that means. That means you get up and go to work and you work hard. And those that don't do that don't have a place around us. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just the way I came up. I mean, no joking aside, I think I've been like actually working since I was about 8, 9 years old. I remember going to work with my dad and he would like put me to real work, and then I'd make $5 a day cash. That was my first income that I ever received. I was very, very young. I actually remember when I was a kid, summertimes would come. I grew up in a construction family, and summertimes would come, and I often would go to work with my dad. And I remember, this is not, I'm not making this up, I promise you, okay? I remember my dad telling me one time, saying, hey, tomorrow you're going to work, and you need to be ready to go at 7 a.m. All right, 7 o'clock, we're leaving the house. And then he said, now you set your alarm, and you get up, and you be ready to go. And I remember, I don't know how I could have this like thought in my head, but I remember thinking, like, I am 9 years old. Like, I'm 9. But my dad's whole thing was, like, when you grow up one day, nobody's coming to your house to get you out of the bed. This is something you got to figure out on your own. And trust me when I say you never wanted my dad to wake you up, ever, ever. He did two of the most annoying things in the whole world. And the first thing that he would do is he would go up to the side of your bed, and, like, the side of my mattress was, like, perfectly his knee height. And he would just get close enough where he could just, like, push his knees out, and the whole bed would just, like, kuh! You'd get this horrible jolt to your bed, which was, first of all, uncomfortable. But the worst thing that he did, which I don't even think should be legal, I think you should get arrested for this nonsense. My dad was the king of a wet willy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have never heard of a wet willy? Where are you at? All right, this is when you stick your finger in your mouth, and then you stick your wet finger in your child's ear who's sleeping. Unacceptable, mom and dad. That's child abuse. I don't ever want to hear of this in your homes ever. That's a real story. That stuff happened. Amen. And so grew up, I really did. I grew up in a hardworking culture. You get up and go, and the one thing you never wanted to be called was lazy. Don't be lazy. Get up and grind. And so for me, I fell in love with that, to be honest with you. I still am very much in love with that. I like work. I actually like work. I'm glad I have something to do. I would not want to play all the time. I'm always like desiring more play, but to be honest with you, I like grinding and I like going hard, and I really like tackling like big tasks. I like overcoming complications. I like trying to navigate through difficulty, and I think for my entire life, it's really been kind of ingrained in me to the point that I really embrace it. And so when you love work, it's easy to do. And so I have, again, just sort of lived my entire life this way. And so recently, some pretty amazing things have taken place on the inside of me, both good and bad, where I've really been doing a deeper dive into the scripture about, like, what's the Bible say about rest? And it has a lot to say about rest. And so I'm excited about this series, because what we hope to do through the next 5 weeks is to really start talking about, like, what does the Word of God say about resting? What does it actually like look like, and how do we actually do it? Because I think that honestly, for us to do it in a way that God would call us to do it, it's going to look a little countercultural. I think that others may look at us and say, you might be lazy. Or others might look at us and say, like, I don't understand how you can do that often or whatever. And so what I hope to do is really dig into what that looks like, and make it practical. Like, how do I actually rest? But not just take naps. Like, this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about resting in God. It's one thing to sleep and your body feels better. It's another thing to get connected to the heart of God and everything about you feels better. They're different. And so what we want to do in this series is really talk about that. I see my whole family over there, by the way. My sister can testify to the wet willy thing. Yeah, terrible, terrible. My mom should slap my dad right now in front of the whole church. I'm just kidding. Love you guys. I really want to take us into a dive. Like, what does the Bible say? And help us understand how to really connect in a restful way to the heart of God, and still be high output, high effective, high achieving type people, because I want to get stuff done. Like, I like conquering, you know what I'm saying? And so how do we balance all this type of stuff? And so Lauren is here to help me talk about this. And you, Lauren, carry a unique role in the church. And so yeah. Some of the people may not know that you're not a staff member. Mm-mm. You don't sit in operational meetings that we have throughout the week. You play a lot different role for our church. I just want you to maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for me, it's a little different because I And I believe God calls us to different seasons that are calling, you know, what he's asking us to do kind of changes. But for me in this season, it's really more of serving my family and serving Josh and just supporting him in that way. So I don't have a job, if you will, in the church and with the ministry. I really come alongside him. Just in more a behind the scenes kind of way. I mean, we do have conversation and we talk about ministry and we lead spiritually together. We lead the church together spiritually, but as far as operationally, I don't lead operationally, if that makes sense. But yeah, so in this season, I don't feel called to be, you know, in the day-to-day necessarily of the ministry. I'm just in a season of still serving my home and still have kids. You know, she's still in sixth grade, so she's still young. So just staying connected to that and really keeping my focus where God is asking me to have my focus. So that's really what's important to me, is doing what God is asking me to do, not just what I think I should or shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. And I think every time you speak, they're just going to like stand up and give you an ovation. This is going to be fun. Yeah, and it's interesting because this is the way we were able to define the role. This week, we really talked about this, and that's what we kind of determined. It's like, you know, the truth is that Lauren is very much a part of the spiritual leadership of this house, not necessarily the operational leadership of this house, and they're very different. And so what I've learned about Lauren is that she oftentimes will see things before I see them. She'll feel things before I feel them. She will experience things often before I experience them. And this has happened many, many times through our marriage of almost 20 years now, where there have been times she said things to me like, hey, I really think that you should be like doing this or not doing this, or I really feel like it's time for this. And I'll be like, nah, you're crazy. 2 months later, I'll be like, you're right. And I should have listened to you then. You know, like that tends to happen a lot. And so as we unpack today some of our story and some of what God is doing in us, that you're going to see when she shares her story, how I think she's actually a little bit actually ahead of where God is taking me to go. And so you'll hear that a little bit in a few moments. But here's the thing. Today's going to have sort of a two-part. Number one, Lauren and I are going to make a little bit of an announcement today. Okay, so that'll be exciting. And we're not having a baby. Amen. Amen. Our oldest daughter just got married, and she's off on her own now, and our son, who's stuck in the middle, he's almost 17, got his own truck. We practically have two kids moved out, and we're like, hey, this ain't so bad. So one thing that we're going to do today is a little bit of an announcement. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then the second thing is that we're going to make 3 points today that's going to be very specific to us as a couple, but it's going to be, I think, universally true for us as a church family. Does that sound good, everybody? And so that's what we're going to do. And so I'm going to start. I'm a storyteller. Whether I'm good at it or not is to be determined. It depends on who you ask, I think. If you ask my kids and they're in trouble, I'm not a good storyteller. If they're not in trouble and we're just talking, I am a good storyteller. I've noticed that. And so I want to start with a bit of a story. And if you're new to our church, just forgive me a little if you don't mind. I'm going to go back to not that far history, but I'm going to actually go back to 2019. And so in 2019, our church was on this rapid growth run. It was really, really staggering, the amount of growth that we were seeing and that we were experiencing around here, and the pressure, quite honestly, to lead and manage that growth was pretty it was intense. It was very, very heavy. And because I'm a grinder, I'm a no-nonsense, don't make excuses, shut your mouth and make it happen type of a thinker. And I do talk to myself that way every day. I was like, just push, grind, and go. And so as we were heading into the year 2020, we had hosted a team night. Some of you guys were a part of that. We had rented out a building here in our city, and we had invited all these people that were serving on our serve team and people that were interested in serving and getting connected to the church. And we were strategizing launching a fourth service here at Church on the Rock. And so we had that meeting on like a Friday night. I don't remember the dates exactly, but we had that meeting on a Friday night, I'm pretty sure it was. And it seems like it was less than 7 days, and COVID had swept the world. And all of a sudden, everything had changed. We all lived through that. And I think it affected all of us differently. For some people, it was great. I have discovered for more introverted people, they were like, loved it. Working from home, not having it, like, this is great. Even though the reality of being distanced from people is hard on us all. But for the extroverted people that are energized by others, I think it was very difficult. I'm one of those. And so it started to take a toll on me. I didn't even realize it was taking, quite honestly. And so 2019... we had some discussions about taking some extended time off. Like, hey, I think we should really take some extended time off to go hear from God. And we talked about that. But as soon as COVID hit, that was not even an option, non-negotiable, because the decision-making pace of everybody's life, not just the church, was like you couldn't plan a week, much less a month or a quarter or an annual year. Nobody really knew what was coming or what to do. And so I had to just lock right back in and just continue to grind, and then had to learn how to navigate the church in a whole different way. So how do I keep people engaged when we can't gather? And, what do we do now? And we're still simultaneously looking for other buildings and facilities and it was just crazy. And like, how long is this going to last? I thought that, COVID came in March and I was like, by June, we'll be rocking and rolling, baby. I was disappointed. Anyway, let me move on and get to the point. Is that the year 2020, I didn't realize the emotional toll it had taken on me. I guess I was just like, suck it up, pushing through, to the point that I didn't realize emotionally how depleted I became. I was very vulnerable about that earlier this year in the first installment of a series we called A New Day. I talked kind of candidly about that. So it was in that season that I got vulnerable with some pastor friends of mine. I'm very, very intentional to have voices into my own life, both pastoral voices, mentoring voices, peers, and I even have apprentices. So like, I'm trying to pour into others. I'm trying to understand, like, with other leaders in church, like, what are you experiencing? Okay, that might help me with what I'm experiencing. And then certainly from people that are older and more experienced than me, like, what have you been through? What do you know that I don't know? And I'm very, very intentional to allow people to speak into my life. Having said all that, it was in December that I was completely emotionally out of gas. And I didn't realize that until the gaslight was on. Like, oh, I'm in trouble. And I talked a little bit about that earlier this year. But I had a voice, I had a pastoring voice in my life, and what he spoke into my life at that season was, he said, Josh, what I really think you need is a sabbatical. Now, a sabbatical is an extended period of time off, like away from operations. Like, you need to withdraw from the pace and from the decision fatigue and the constant pressure of the moving components of what you do. You actually need to fall back a little bit so that you can fill back up in some areas that have been depleted in your life. And so we began this conversation that we had talked about in 2019 that obviously was not a reality. But what happened was he kind of like stepped in more in a pastoral way to say, like, hey, man, you need this. Like, you need this probably worse than you think that you need this. You've been leading this church for 10 solid years now. You've led this church through some major, major change, some big moments. You've really transitioned this family from one place to another place to another place, and you're probably a little more empty even than you feel. And so that became the discussion. We put that to prayer. We went to our executive leadership team here at the church. We went to our board of directors at the church, and then ultimately made the decision that this summer we will be taking a 40-day sabbatical. One-third of our church is happy for us. Thanks a lot. That's my biggest fear, actually, that only one-third will like this. But having said that, the reason that we're doing this, taking this time off, is, we're going to get into, like, there's three reasons why, but this is like, I want you to imagine this. Every week, at least once, you probably have to go to the gas station, put gas in the car. You have to put fuel in it for it to go. And you have to consistently do that, but every once in a while, it's a good idea for your car to get really looked over. Like, pop the hood, let's look inside, we probably need to change some other fluids. We probably need to add a component. That belt is getting pretty worn out. Those brakes look pretty bad, which, by the way, for some of you, listen, every once in a while you should get your car looked at. You know what I'm saying? I drive around you. I'm like, bro, get the brakes fixed. You know what I mean? So this is exactly what we're going to be doing this summer. We're going to take 40 days away from just the operation of this church. We're excited about that. We're going to have some, we're going to do sort of our newer traditional family vacation that we just started, like, what, 4 years ago, I guess. We started taking like an actual annual family vacation because we could finally afford to. And praise God. And so we're gonna do that during the sabbatical. Lauren and I have some time away where just her and I are going to do some traveling. We've got, yeah, excited about that. Those are the best. Just kidding. So I've got some books already staged that I'm going to be reading. We've got churches that we're going to go and visit. We've got some time of what's called silence and solitude, where we're just going to be alone with God, not even with each other, just her alone. I'm going to go and just be alone, where we can really just soak in the presence of God and just let him restore things that we don't, like, I don't know, like, I'm not the mechanic you are, God. So what needs, I don't even recognize what could be broken. Just put it back together. And our heart is that this will regenerate us to be able to lead this church for a long time. So here's what I don't want you to fear. Like, God's not calling us away from Church on the Rock. I cannot imagine doing anything else with my life, quite frankly. And we actually believe there's so much more still ahead. So what we're going to do is really go into a place where we can really hear from God. Okay, I'm talking a lot. Why don't you talk a little bit about just like seasons and a little bit about the season that brought us here, unless you're like, yeah, you did it. But
yeah. It's really awesome how God works, because even through all of the 2020 and what a mess it was, and, you know, you think that we wanted to do this and we wanted to have this sabbatical and thinking that we needed it during that season, but God knew just the perfect timing. Even with our daughter getting married, we knew that there would be a wedding coming, but to know that it was going to be then, we wouldn't have known exactly then. So there was all that to do, which was great, and it was fantastic. But God's timing is so perfect in that. And then even, you know, Josh talked about how sometimes God will lead me in things. And that's exactly the way it was with sabbatical, is that God has actually walked me through my own, like, personal sabbatical season. It's just, he called me to leave my job back in the fast in January, is when he told me to leave. So I just left in March, actually. So it's really been amazing
God
to
told
see.
You. I didn't tell you. God told you.
God told me.
Yeah, okay.
No. God told me to leave my job. He didn't tell me to leave my job. And I loved my job, so that was a really difficult request. So just kind of walking through that season of sabbatical and what that looks like on a personal level, but then to do one ministry-wise and for us to take a sabbatical, it's just amazing, just the things that God reveals in that.
Yeah, and so that's it. That's the interesting part, I think, for me, is that I feel like she's ahead of me. And like God's allowing her to feel, see, and experience things that I don't think I have felt, seen, or experienced yet. And so because of what God spoke to her and what this pastor, Dan Stauffer, who you're going to hear from this summer, spoken to me, like, bro, I think you need a sabbatical, and I think we need to be really intentional. Let me help you structure and plan this. I think you were seeing this and experiencing this even before I was. And so what I want to do is move through. I didn't give you a handout this week, but if you're a note taker and you have something to write on, you might want to write some things down. You don't have to, but I want to take you to a verse. This is going to be the foundation verse of the series that we're starting today. And it's Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I really love this scripture. It says this. This is what the Lord says. And I want you to notice all these verbs. Stop, right where you are. Look for the old godly way, walk in it, travel its paths, and then you will find rest for your souls. And so, again, this is where I feel like our culture is saying one thing, when God is like, hey, there's an ancient path that I have established that you actually find rest for your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. I'm not asking you, followers of Jesus, to take naps. I'm not asking you to get 7 hours of sleep instead of five. I'm asking you actually to walk with me in a way where you actually will find deep, true, replenishing rest for your soul. I think this is what God wants for his people. But the thing is, in order for us to actually discover that rest, we have to stop, like slow down and look for it. And so in this series, this is what we're hoping to do. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to give you 3 points today, and these are the three very specific things that we are going to be looking for in our sabbatical. These are the things I want you to be looking for in your life as you start to better understand rest. And the first one is this. Again, if you're a note taker, you write this down. The first reason for a sabbatical, the first reason for rest is to replenish. To get some things put back on the inside of you. Go, 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 pace, 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 push, push, push. And then all of a sudden, like, the tank gets emptier and emptier and emptier and emptier. So why would I slow down? So that I can be replenished. Man, I need to be filled back up. And as we start to better understand rest the way God designs it, this is exactly what God wants to do. I actually want to replenish you. I want to put back into you. I need to fill you back up to healthy levels so that you can serve again. Case in point, Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 32. And I'm going to go into this in much more detail in a couple of weeks. But the Bible says this, that the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that they had done and taught. Paraphrase, they were busy. We did a lot of stuff. Verse 31, then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place. And notice what he says, and rest a while. Like, let's do it for a little while. Let's take some time and actually breathe some. And I'm going to there is a lot packed into this story. I'm going to dig into that here in a couple of weeks. And so he said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Like, they didn't have time to replenish. They couldn't even put back into themselves because they had been pouring out to others. And this is not only physically, but spiritually as well. And what Jesus says to them is like, hey, I love that you're killing it for the kingdom. I love that you're like knocking it down and you're high achieving. But listen, if you want to sustain this pace, if you want to continue to do these kinds of life-changing and life-giving things for others, if you want to continue to have this feeling of outpour into other people's lives, we better go rest for a while, so that you can replenish. And so they left in a boat to a quiet place where they could be alone. That's exactly what we're headed out to do in this time of sabbatical. Like, we're just going to go and say, God, we just want to sit with you. I don't want to have to make decisions about what should be held when, and when should we launch this, and when should that take place, and what are the ramifications if we open this back up, or if we do that. No, God, I'm just like, will you fill me back up? Will you replenish my soul? Will you just do what I don't even know I need in my own life?
Yeah. And that's one thing that I've really learned too, is like that rest, to truly find that time to replenish and rest in God. It takes so much trust in God to actually rest, because you're just thinking about the things you should be doing or what needs to be done. So when you really go into a season of not laziness, as of I'm not doing anything, God's taking care of it, and just I'll let him do whatever, I won't even make an effort. It's more a sense of rest and trusting God as, God, I know you asked me to rest, so I'm going to rest. I'm going to trust that you have it, even though I'm kind of freaking out right now. Yeah. So it's really just, it takes a big just takes a lot of trust to actually rest in God.
Yeah, which is exactly what Lauren experienced in the fast when God was like, hey, I just want you to leave your job. And she was like, and then what? And he was like, that's it. Just trust me. You know, like, that's it. And so it's like when Moses had that rod in his hand, you know, and God's calling him to go back to Pharaoh in Egypt. And he's like, I don't know what to say, you know. And then God's like, what's in your hand? Well, I got this shepherd's staff that I always held. And then what was the very next thing God said? Just let it go. He never said, let it go, and then this, and then that. He just said, let it go, which is exactly what Lauren felt like God was asking her to do, which again, simultaneously is when I have a voice speaking into my life, like, brother, you need to let go for a little while. You got a grip on this. And so what we want to do is just be able to go, again, get that deep tune up and just really let God speak. You got something else? Oh, okay. Number two. Second reason that we're going to sabbatical, second reason God wants us to rest is not just to replenish, but to listen, And oftentimes, just the pure pace of life, the noise of the world around us will mute the sound of God's voice when he's trying to say something deep into our hearts. He's trying to steer us into a direction. And oftentimes, we can be so battle fatigued and have the fog of war on us that we can't even be receptive to what God wants to say deep within us to steer us to our next direction. Again, just giving you scripture, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. One day soon afterward, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night, which is, I mean, that's a long time to pray. But he goes and gets with God all night long to say, God, I am calling on you, and I'm listening for what you say. And at daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and then chose 12 of them to be apostles. And so what we see Jesus doing is really, really modeling, like, hey, before I go and make really important decisions, before I go and I actually set some big things into motion, I need to make sure that I'm listening to what God is leading and what God is guiding and what he is saying. And I actually believe that in that night of prayer that Jesus had the clarity to say, all right, these are the ones that I need to call out. These are the ones I need to raise up. These are the ones I need to identify to take this next step. This is exactly what we're trying to do. God, what's next? Because we do believe there's so much more.
Yeah, so that was a big thing too, is God asking me to leave my job. But it wasn't just leave your job. It was, I need you to lean into me. So I was like, okay, that seems really big. But I really felt lost, like, what now, you know? But in that season of leaning in and God just bringing to mind, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, which I think some of us are scared to lean in because we think that God's going to tell us something we don't like. But you'd be surprised how many times you are wrong by that. But to give you a future and a hope. But the thing is, he knows the plans. Like, we have to lean into the source to find out what those plans are, to not just think we're going to figure it out on our own or, you know, try to make our own path, but really go to the source, go to the Father, because he already knows the plans, but it's a matter of us finding out what those plans are, what it is that he's asking us to do. And I was just amazed in this season of leaning in, just how God revealed my own desires to me that I didn't even know that was truly my desire or what I wanted to do or didn't want to do even, but just revealing to me my desires and his desires and what he was calling me to in the next season.
Yeah, and the Bible talks about, it says that there's a way that seems right to a man. Like, it seems right. But if we're not careful, it can end in death. And so this is one thing that we want to say, like, God, what are you trying to say for the future of our church? And what are you trying to say for our lives and for the life of our family? Because we don't want to do what seems right. Well, that seems right. You know, this makes sense. And I think oftentimes we will make decisions out of, like, well, it seems logical. And God's like, hey, stop. Stop. Look for the ancient way, the old way. Travel its paths. That's where the rest is. That's where I'm at. That's where the replenishment for your soul is. The final thing is we want God to replenish us. We want to listen to God. And then the last thing, and I think this is the most exciting thing, is to go prepare. Because the truth of the matter is that I believe with all of my heart. My wife affirms this. She continues to say this, that we believe there's so much more for our church. So much more. In fact, if you remember, if you were with us in the first part of the year, we talked about this word that God had given me during our 21 days of prayer and fasting. It was this word, decisive direction. Like, I am taking you somewhere. And so for us, as weird as it sounds, we think the fastest way to get there is actually to hit pause. Say, okay, God, help prepare us. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, and I know the music's playing, and I'm watching the time run out, but I'm gonna talk to you, okay? Is it okay? There have been things about taking this church where I am certain God wants it to be that are frustrating me more than I could describe. Like, I do not, God, I don't know. Like, I'm out of options. I'm out of ideas. I don't know. I actually think, I'm going to be very candid here, and none of this was planned, I guess, but whatever. I feel like the size of this building stunts the growth of our church. I think it does. However, every attempt we've made at another facility has fallen through for one reason or another. I tend to like buildings that aren't for sale. And when we make offers, they say no. And then things that are available, we spend energy and time and money to go investigate them to find out that the ceiling is too low. Like, that won't work for us. And then the creativity of like, well, maybe it should be more this vision or that vision. Maybe it's not a bigger place. Maybe it's more smaller places. And I'd like all these ideas. And maybe God's calling us to a whole different region. And also like, but to be honest with you, like, it has frustrated me. Because it's like, God, if you would just do it my way, this would work. You know? But there's a way that seems right to a man. And so what we really want to do is be able to say, all right, God, we know there's, like, the question of more, that's not the question. It's what does more look like? It's how do we get to the more? Because I know there's more. I think I'm revealing the frustration, and I'm not trying to, but like, I know that there's more. God, I know that there is, and I'm seeing the kinds of people that God is putting in our church, and I'm seeing the way that God is positioning us for more. And the strength of our church in numbers, and the strength of our church in just the pure caliber of people that call this, it is awesome. Next service, tissues. I'm just kidding. Right here, center. I'm just kidding. Seeing the financial, like, position our church is in, it's like we're ready for opportunities. We can do some things. And so we, more is not the question. It's, all right, God, prepare us for what more looks like. Prepare us, God. What is it that we should be maybe doing differently, thinking differently? What is it? I think that God does spiritual surgery on us all the time. So, like, what are you trying to, like, strengthen or stabilize or tweak? Because something's out of balance. And if I can get it in alignment, you're going further. What are you trying to do? And so, for me, the most exciting part of this 40-day sabbatical is preparation. Because I'm a prepared junkie. I'd seriously have reoccurring dreams. She's laughing because she knows I have reoccurring dreams, and I wake up in the middle of the night and cannot fall back to sleep because I'm standing here and I have nothing to say. That's my dream. And I'm like, I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. Like, I freak out. So God, please prepare. Like, I want to be prepared. Jesus did this. We're almost done. Jesus did this in Matthew chapter 4. We're not going to read any of the verses, but you can check it out for yourself. In the fourth chapter of Matthew, before Jesus started his ministry, he went off into the wilderness for 40 days to fast and to pray. And it was preparation. It was like, God, I need you to build in me what it's going to take to do what you're calling me to do. And we're convinced there's so much more ahead of our church that we want to say, all right, I'm following the leadership of the pastoring voices into my life that said, Josh, we believe this is what you need to actually go for another 10, another 20 years, 10-4, because I want to run that long. And I want to run hard doing it. So if 40 days is what's good for us, 40 days is what's good for you. Quite honestly, the speed of the leader is, in fact, the speed of the team. And if God is going to do a new work in me, he's going to do a new work in you. Amen. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. It's just this spiritual way that God functions. And so this is kind of where we're going. Any final thoughts from?
Yeah, just one thing that was interesting. I love just the way God works. And just this past week, I was driving home one night, and God reminded me of a dream that he had given me 15 years ago. And the dream, it was, I won't explain the dream because it won't mean anything to you. It was a prophetic dream to me, so everything has meaning to me from the dream. But he brought to mind the dream and really showed me how everything in the dream had come to pass, which would almost seem saddening, like, oh, it's all happened. But in that, he was just showing me that it was time for a new dream. Yeah. So that's just why I'm so excited. Like, I'm excited for what God wants to do in the ministry, but I really am excited about sabbatical because I really feel like God has something to say. Like, he has something else that he wants us to prepare for. And we just believe that he's got more for you and for us and for this church. So it's like, we're just simply taking the time to go say, okay, God, what is it? What's next? Like, we're ready.
Yeah, we are. And we're really excited about it. And so, for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about resting in God. And what does it look like? I'm very excited, and I'm over my time by 6 minutes, so I'm going to land this plane real quick. But I'm really excited to be able to pour into you. I've been on a very, very deep dive, like a deep study of rest. And what's the Bible say? And what does it actually look like? Like, practically, how does it get lived out in America in 2021? Like, what does it actually look like? And I'm very, very excited to kind of take us on this journey. And I'll elaborate more and dig as deep as possible. But here's the thing. God's going to do in you what he's doing in us. What I want you actually to begin to think about as a church family is real rest. Real rest. Like, resting in the presence of God. The replenishing presence of God where we hear. And where we're prepared, where he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Listen to me, Church on the Rock. This is bigger than a nap. I'm not talking about a nap, okay? It might include one, but it's not that shallow. It's much deeper. And so this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to talk about. So I would just encourage you to lean into this with us. And then I promise you, you're not going to be disappointed about this series, I don't believe. Which is a gamble because I'm the one delivering the all installments of it. I know you're not going to be disappointed in the summertime when we're gone. I know you're not, because you're going to hear from some of the greatest voices in my life. We had a list. We narrowed it down to, like, these are the voices that God wants to speak into our church and into their, so they have been so, like, monumental to me. They now get the opportunity to speak right to you, and I am so excited about that. I'm so very excited about that. All right, as we close, I'm going to read a verse. This is a verse that you're going to see a lot. So our Jeremiah 6 verse, we're going to start every week with. But this verse right here, you're going to see a lot all throughout the series, because we're going to remind ourselves what Jesus said. And Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. So I want you to take this very personally. As I read it, I want you to hear it like Jesus is speaking to you. And he says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And I'll bet that's the vast majority of the people listening right now. If you're burdened and tired and weary and exhausted, and you can't seem to get done all the expectations, and you can't see, that's you, yep. So come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest. Some of you perhaps are here today, and you're like, hey, I'm a guest. This was weird. Sat in a family meeting in my first visit. Welcome to the family. Maybe you're tuning in online for the first time, or maybe you've been attending or listening for a while and you've never made a decision actually to step into a relationship with Jesus. And what I want to do is just give you the opportunity to do that. I believe that stepping into a relationship with Christ is the greatest rest we'll ever find. In fact, I don't think we'll ever understand rest without them. I just don't. So some of you, spiritually speaking, you're just tapped out. You are exhausted. You got nothing else to give. You're looking for life. You're looking for hope. I'm just going to tell you, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And so I want to invite you right now to just open up your heart and just say, all right, I'll make that decision. Can we all just stand together as a church, all of us? Probably messing up the cameras right now. Sorry, everybody. Probably shouldn't have had them stand since news is coming on next. Praise the Lord. It's a decision. I'm going to commit to it. Here's what I'm going to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're in your living room, please stand right there at the couch. And I just want to pray. I want to pray about our church and where God's taking us as a church. So, Father, we just come before you as a family. God, our heart is to know you, to really know you. To know you, Father, so much more than we know you today. God, what we really want is like a deep, authentic, genuine connection to the heart of our God. We don't want religion. We don't want spiritual practices, God, without spiritual realities. The world around us, Lord God, is fast and exhausting. It's loud and it's heavy. Our heart as a church family is to just be really, really close to your heart. So, Father, help us to better understand how to rest. For you, Lord God, to replenish. For us, Lord God, to listen. For you, Lord God, to prepare us for what is next in our lives, for what you actually want to do in us. Because we know that you have a plan for us, and that plan is good. And so as a church, Father, we just simply invite you. Just help us to better understand what rest really looks like, so that we can connect to you in a closer way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now I'm gonna ask you to be seated for a minute, if you would, and we're gonna end the service right here, but I gotta do this. I can't deliver a message and not do this. I wanna give perhaps the person in the room that's never made a decision to follow Christ, maybe you're at home or you're listening to a playback of this, I wanna give you the opportunity to invite Christ Jesus into your life and really understand rest the way that God intends us to. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around, I just want to talk to that person, those people that have never made a decision to commit their life to Christ. And I want to give you the opportunity to do that. And at Church on the Rock, here's how we do it. I'm going to ask you to do one thing and one thing only, and that is simply say a prayer with me. You've already had a heart change. You've already made a decision. Yes, I want to enter this relationship with Christ. Okay, then pray with me. And here's our prayer. I want to ask everybody in the room to repeat this prayer after me. And if you're saying it for the first time, I want you to be bold. This is your moment before the Father. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.